Would you just give our band and Shirley another round of applause just for... You know, sometimes it's the words that can move the Holy Spirit in worship and just really set an atmosphere. So I thank you and the band for just creating the soil and fertile ground for us to worship and preach today. We in week two of our sermon series, it's not the seed, it's the soil. And so today I want to talk about when the seed lands on hard ground. When the seed lands on hard ground. Won't you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the ground that is already fertile. We're hoping that you know what we need before we even ask. So in the places of our lives that we think are barren, just give us some seeds today. Maybe they may not come tomorrow, but in due season. You know our needs, you know our concerns, you know our questions. So we stand on the hope and prayer that when the word goes out, it shall not come back void. For this is our hope and prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Let the people of God say amen. 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 A little behind, a little bit on time, but I will try to be as expedited as possible or as expedited as I can be. When the seed lands on hard ground. I ended last week with the question, what happens when the seed lands on hard ground? And I think today it's an important question considering the limitless potential and the possibilities of even the smallest of seed. I mean, it's an encouraging reminder that seeds can grow far beyond their size. I mean, on the surface, seeds really don't look like much, but inside of them, there are these possibilities that sometimes we can't even imagine just by looking at them. But any good sower already knows this. So they scatter their seeds, hoping and believing there's something good, there's something powerful, there's something divine is going to happen. And yet, with even the best of intentions, there are some times when the sower's hope is met with hard ground. I think our parable today is honest with us about the realities of planting and really the truth about life. I mean, it would be great to believe that everywhere we land, we will always find good soil or receptive hearts. I would love to stand up here and tell you on this Pride Sunday, I would love to tell you that as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, that you will always run into environments that will be committed to your growth, and every place will be the perfect location and the perfect fit. I would love to tell you that every church will speak to your needs, or that every family or every relationship will always be supportive. I would love to be able to tell you that, but that is not the reality of planting, and that is not the reality of life, because the truth is that sometimes some seeds that we will sometimes land on hard ground. That's why Jesus reminds us that some seed fell on the hard path and people didn't see the value in them, so they walked on the seeds without taking a single notice, and then the birds came and devoured them. That's why Jesus said that sometimes the seeds fall on rocky ground, and because the seeds could not plant its roots, it eventually withered and died away. Then Jesus said some fell among the thorns. I mean, they started off great. They started off blossoming, but over time, the thorns squeezed the life and the joy out of them. I think it's a reminder that perfectly good seed can die in bad soil. I mean, we've come to realize that even seeds with limitless potential would never be actualized because of the environment. Somebody say environment. And because of the environment, this suggests that the environment, the surroundings, the location are essential to the development and the maturation of our faith. And we will save ourselves a lot of heartache, a lot of frustration when we recognize that everything and everybody can't grow everywhere. The environment will either help the seed or it will hinder the seed. Because let's be honest, for many people, the critical questions about faith normally revolve around these three things: what, how, or who. I mean, most of our questions that we're asking around God are around these three things: what, how, or who. We say things like, God, what do you want me to do? Or, God, what are you trying to say to me? What am I called to do? Or, how are you going to work this thing out in my life? Or, how am I going to get through this? Or maybe it's who. God, who are you calling me to be? Who do you want me to marry? Most of our questions revolve around what, how, or who. But one of the most important but overlooked questions on our journey of faith is where. God, where are you calling me? Where do you want me to use my gifts? Where can I grow? God, where are you leading me? Faith sometimes has directional or location implications. It affirms the importance of environments. It's the location. It's the associations. It's the people. It's the customs. It's the culture. All of that plays a part in the environment, and it impacts the soil upon which the seed is thrown, and where it lands matters. Where you are matters. In fact, look at it like this. When God called the people out of Egypt, God specifically called them to go to a place, to go to a land flowing with milk and honey. God didn't call them to go anywhere, but God called them to go to a particular place. Why? Because the place matters. Remember, Jonah was upset. Jonah was so upset with God that Jonah ran away from God, not because he was just called to preach anywhere, but because he was called to preach forgiveness to the people of Nineveh. Why? Because the place mattered. In fact, Jesus goes to a home of a Roman soldier to raise a girl from the dead. And for Jesus, it was not a conducive environment. True story, it's in the Bible. I'm not making it up. When Jesus gets there, Jesus notices that the house was packed and it was loud. It was so loud that when Jesus says to them that this girl is not dead, that she's going to live, this house that was loud and this house that was packed, they start laughing at what Jesus proclaimed. And so Jesus was so particular about the environment of the miracle. Again, I'm not making this up, it's in the Bible. Jesus kicks everybody else out of the house. It ain't even his house. His name is not on the mortgage. It is not on the lease. It is not on the deed. But it was not a conducive environment. Why does Jesus kick everybody out? Because the environment made a difference. Because every seed doesn't grow in every kind of environment. Because you can have good seed in the wrong place. I mean, you can have perfectly good seed with a lot of potential and a lot of possibilities, but what happens if it's in the wrong place or the wrong environment? What happens when the conditions for sowing are not suitable to the conditions that are there? So we have to be honest and consider the question, am I in the right place? Because you can have good seed, but be unproductive if it's in the wrong place. Sooner or later, we all have to come to a place where we wonder about our own environments. We have to question places that God sends us. Maybe it's a job, a family, a church, or a relationship, or friendship, or even it's just a state of mind, and ask ourselves, can I grow here?
Why? Because environments matter. Is this a place? Is this an environment where I can blossom or bloom? Are these ideal sowing conditions? Because what works for some seed may not work for you. And you have to figure out the places where you and your faith thrives and flourishes.
Because if they're not ideal sowing conditions, what's inside the seed, the sower never gets the opportunity to see the hidden potential of what's inside. Remember, the seed has everything that it needs. Remember, inside of one seed, there is this hidden potential that's just waiting to be revealed. Inside of one seed, the roots are already there, the leaves are there, the branches are there, the size, the color, the character, it's all there. But if the seed doesn't have suitable conditions, what's inside will always remain invisible. And that's where many people get frustrated.
This is where the tension builds, because the natural temptation is to wonder, what's wrong with the seed? Because it's easier to demonize the seed than it is to evaluate the soil. It's easy to create a narrative about the seed, about what the seed can't do, what the seed hasn't done, what the seed will never do, because it's easier to say it's a seed problem and not a soil problem. Because if it's a seed problem, all I have to do is get more seeds. But if it's a soil problem, then that means I've got to do work and prepare the soil. It's easier just to throw more seed than it is to evaluate the soil. It's easy to think that something must be wrong with the seeds.
But if the seed isn't careful, it can start internalizing the inability. It can start second-guessing its own worth and value. The seed might begin to wonder, what's wrong with the seed becomes what's wrong with me. Because for the seed, it feels like rejection. For the seed, hard ground feels like rejection. For the seed, they might start questioning if there is something still worthy inside of them that's worthy of coming out. The seed might start doubting its own potential. So this is a message to the seed. This is a message to the seed today that's on hard ground. If you ever find yourself on hard ground, remember, you've got potential inside of you, so don't take it personal.
Would you tell somebody, don't take it personal? Don't take it personal. Don't take the inability for the soil to do its own work that you carry that burden. Because it's not you, but it might be the soil. You're not unlovable. You just came across some hard ground. You are not without gifts. You just haven't found the right environment that values what you have to offer. You are worthy of companionship in all its forms. And there is still something in there that's worth coming out. There is still something. There is still something hidden inside of us that's worth coming out, even if the environment doesn't always produce it or support it.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves, because as quickly as we identify with the seed, we have all, somebody say all, we have all at once been the hard ground on which other people have landed. Are you still with me? Some people have prayed to be delivered from us. You still with me? Some people knew that they couldn't be themselves around us. They had to become somebody different. They had to shrink. They had to keep their gift hidden. Their roots would not take hold. Their branches would not sprout. Their character could not shine. And for whatever reason, maybe because of our own ignorance, our background, our phobias, our insecurities, our selfishness, our trauma, our childhood, our unaddressed and unchecked issues, we created environments where some could not flourish. I mean, we confess, because as a society, we will eat from the fruit from the very same communities and seeds that we have excluded as long as they are planted in somebody else's garden.
I mean, for the C's that identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, or asexual, they've always contributed greatly to the landscape of our lives. They have blossomed into some of the world's greatest leaders and musicians and activists and athletes and designers and theologians and writers and entertainers and artists and doctors and lawyers and coaches and preachers. And yet the same communities that shun them have no problems benefiting from their gifts and creativity. As if to say, it's okay that you can bear fruit just as long as you do it in somebody else's garden. But we repent for the hardened hearts and environments that we have created for other people, because sometimes the prayer is not, God, help me find good ground, but God, help me become the good ground that other people need in their lives. God, help me become the kind of place where people want to be. God, help me create the environment that people can become who God has created them to be, because some seed will land on hard ground and they will be at the mercy of the environment. But sometimes the seed has a choice. Sometimes the seed has a choice. Because sometimes when we are in hard ground, we can't always see the different options that God has available to us, and we can only see the current environment that we are in. And when we are in hard ground, when we are in the midst of rocky ground or thorny ground or difficult ground, sometimes that's all that we can internalize, and that's all that we can see. And sometimes it feels like we have failed, but the Bible puts it like this. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose your soul? And I finally understood what this means. I never related the two texts together, but now I finally understand what this means. What does it profit a man or woman to gain the whole world but lose your soul? What do you gain if you stay in familiar places while your soul withers away? What do you gain if we stay in relationships that are no longer healthy? What do you gain in places where you are underappreciated and undervalued? You could gain the whole world and lose the essence of who you are, or lose the essence that's buried deep inside of you that's screaming to come out. But moving from here to there, moving from a hard place to fertile ground, can sometimes be one of the most difficult decisions you might ever have to make in your life. In fact, can I prove it? And Ben, you can get ready, because I'm going to close on this. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We're going to go. It might be one of the hardest decisions you might make in your life. Reminded in the life of Jesus Christ in Matthew 13, Jesus comes to his hometown. And Jesus starts preaching in the synagogue, starts preaching in the churches. Was the same hometown where people questioned, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of this place? And the people were amazed that Jesus is speaking with so much wisdom and could perform all of these miracles. They were amazed because they grew up with Jesus. They were his classmates. They were with him in Sunday school. They taught him in Sunday school. They could not make sense of what the narrative said about him and Nazareth and make sense of what their eyes could see. And yet they would never be able to see the potential and the possibilities that was right in front of their eyes. And they knew that Jesus was not who he was claiming to be. They could not make sense out of that. So Jesus was not going to be trampled or devalued because of their limited ignorance. He was not going to let their small thinking choke his mission or his gifts. And from that moment on, Jesus decided, I can do no more miracles in this place. I can no longer do miracles in my own hometown. He doesn't stop doing miracles. He just stops doing it there. There was still a miracle worker inside of him. And you would think of all the places that would be receptive and fertile ground to him operating as a savior and doing all of these wonderful things. It would be there. But from that moment, Jesus decides, I can no longer do miracles here. And he had to make a decision. He has to make a decision. Does he fit into the small, shallow pot constructed by the people in his hometown, or does he take a leap of faith and go where he can blossom? Jesus quickly learned that there were other places. Remember, when you're in hard ground, you can't always see the other possibilities and the potentials around you. But Jesus understood, even though they would not be receptive, that God had other places that would help him blossom and help what was inside of him come on the outside. There would be other places like the forbidden cities of Samaria. There were other places like the home of that Roman soldier. There were other places like the pools of Bethesda where people were desperate for a miracle. There were other places like cemeteries where people would be desperate for Jesus's miracles and gifts. There were other places like the side of the roads where people would scream out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." There were other places like weddings when they would run out of wine and they would need it, and they would need people like Jesus. I simply just wanted to remind you that there's some place out there where you can bloom and blossom. You don't always have to stay in hard places. That God has places that you will be valued, appreciated, and will be so fertile that what is on the inside will be able to be realized on the outside. It may not be a place that you thought. It may not be the hometown. It may not be the place where you grew up. But God has other places where your relationships, where your gifts, where your faith, and where you can thrive and flourish. We are not stuck in rocky places and thorny places and places where we can't plant roots. But you might have to step out on faith and choose to be in fertile places. Won't you quickly pray with me? God, I just pray for the person here today that feels like their relationship, their faith is on hard ground. Seems like it's just difficult to see you working. They've been trying and tried, and the ground just won't break. Change just won't happen. And maybe they have resigned themselves that this is the way that it is always going to be. But maybe there's some seed, there's some person, there's some relationship out there that needs to be reminded that there is a place for them. And maybe that's why they showed up here today. It's just to be reminded that there's a church, there's a community where they can be all that you have designed and desire for them to be. For this is the hope and faith that we're standing on today. In Christ's name we pray.